The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Coming to you today from the Wiregrass Research and Extension Center in Headland, Alabama. Just wrapped up our field day here at the station and thought we'd have a good opportunity with a lot of our team here to do a podcast. So how's it going, everybody?
Good.
It's going good.
Hey, good. I was glad to be here again.
Y'all left me wondering for a second there. we just any, hot. Too much catfish.
Do we have any guests today?
Yeah. So we've got, I'll just start, Simmer, I'll start from my right to left. So we got Mr. Peanut, Chris Balcom, Mr. Cotton, Josh Lee, Mr. Corn and Soybean, Eros Francisco, Mr. Wiregrass, Aaron Wells, and Mr. Black Belt, Blake Landon.
Sure. I'll take the black belt.
So we're going with these names from here forward?
From here, henceforth.
Okay. All right.
Well, I guess I might would say we're shelling corn right now, right, Arrow? So what's it looking like?
Oh, yeah. We're shelling corn in the south, starting in the central part of the state, moving upward. It's looking good, but a little bit off as compared to last year. I've been hearing between 10% and 50% yield decrease as compared to last year. I heard one farmer.
One farmer.
Do we say names or we avoid saying names?
Yeah, it don't matter. Do
you just say a grower. Yeah.
Okay. I just heard one grower saying it's higher than last year, which is good. So, but apparently we had a different June as compared to last year. It was hot, it was wet, and overcast. And the best guess right now, everyone is saying that they had tipbacks here and there, and the yields are a little lower. So the best guess right now is that the overcast weather and the heat somehow damaged pollination, or just after silking the little blisters, they did not develop well, or the heat impacted the formation of the kernel. But right now everything is looking good so far. We've been hearing 200 plus bushels for irrigated, 180, 190 for dry land. Some very nice yields also in dry land. So we can't complain. We can't complain.
Okay. Aaron, how's the variety trial looking? Corn?
I think it's probably going to be harvested this week. If they don't get to it this week, probably next week. So we'll see. I know they're harvesting out in that area for the trial that's down here in the southeast part of the state. So hopefully we'll have those numbers here pretty soon.
Chris grows corn, right? How'd you do?
It's off. It's off 20, 30 bushels.
Okay.
And that's probably, 10%. You know, like for the guys that are mainly irrigated, they're the ones that are probably going to be the most off. You know, these dry land farmers are going to average out because we did have a lot of rain early. Now, you know, I guess during kernel field that kind of, you know, wasn't as much, but yeah, from what I'm hearing, the irrigated is not looking like they think it should look, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. What about cotton?
Josh?
Yeah. So I looked at the USDA crop progress report. It says it's 15% cracking around the state. I think that's pretty high. In some spots, it depends where you're at. So cotton's going to be, we've got it all over the place and across the state. So I'm going to kind of talk about the southeast portion because we're right here. This stuff that was, we were able to get in and plant early, and when I mean early, like about mid-April to early May, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty stout, especially here on the station. You know, I looked at it today and looked at it earlier this week. I'm pretty excited because, like Blake was talking about, you know, with these rains and stuff, we got pushed back a lot and it turned really wet and really cold, and that crop sat there for probably just 2 weeks. Not really growing any, kind of really slow, kind of had me worried a little bit. And then it really took off those next couple of weeks after. Got some really good heat unit accumulation. Had really good bolt set. Not too much shedding. I do see some more increased shed right now just because it's so hot down here, especially towards that top part of the terminal. But overall, I think we're set up for good success. A lot of June planted cotton down this way. It's going. We still got a lot of growing season though left, right? I mean, we're going to push that effective bloom date probably into later, in like middle, maybe even mid-September, because it's been so dadgum hot. I mean, today's probably, what, it says 91 on my watch, mm-hmm. but I think it's hotter than that. Feels like it. But I think we're in for a good setup, but, you know, we still got a long ways to go down here in the south part.
Blake?
Oh, yeah, it's all over the board. I was just showing Aaron a picture that I got sent about 2 or 3 days ago. There's some cotton in Dallas County that could probably be defoliated within the next 5 to 7 days.
Oh, wow.
It was planted first week of April. Now, I'm sure their pickers are not ready, so they're not jumping up and down to do it. Then got some that's just now starting to, you know, bloom. Most of it, I think, is going to be okay. I don't think we're going to be as good as we were last year, but I haven't really seen any disasters. And last I looked yesterday or the day before, cotton was at 88 cents, a little over 88
cents. It's still 88 cents as of lunchtime today. Nice. So we've been on a trend, upward trend, the past week and a half, and so this has surpassed the high that we had in May, which was 87.5. We're 88. You know, I'm hoping there'll be a 9 in the front of there next week. I'm very optimistic, but we'll see.
And we should say today is August 21st.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, again, I'm not agronomist like you guys, look at a lot of different crops or across the state. I was at E.V. Smith, so Central Park, and then driving through on 431 coming to, I was telling Scott earlier, overall, the crops, and including cotton, look a lot better than last year in a way. You know, there was some very short cotton maturing early and all that going on, but I think this year overall the crop looks a little bit better.
Yeah, and it's there, but I don't think it's as widespread. Okay. You know, there's some dry pockets that we got into, but for the most part we've caught enough rain to keep it going. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to need a couple more because we got some late planted stuff in our part of the state. And I think I've just riding through here this morning, it looks like it's kind of the same case. We're going to need a couple more rains in August to finish out a crop.
So while we're on cotton, you want to talk about what you said? you just talk about that now?
Yeah, we can talk about cotton jasses. They are starting to show up more, and Aaron can probably talk about it too. Several calls, reports in southeast Alabama of populations at threshold, which is one per leaf on the targeting the fourth main stem node. Now, I told them today at the field day, and I put it in the blog, if you see one on the third leaf, don't ignore it. Don't pretend you didn't see it, right? That still counts.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get in those upper five nodes, and it's an average of one per leaf is our threshold. For now, they seem to be concentrated mostly in the oldest cotton that's starting to crack bowls and play out, which is a lot of what we saw last year. They tended to be in that oldest cotton first, and then when we started defoliating it was when they really spread out and jumped into everything else, and so that's something to watch. I hope maybe we can kind of get them hemmed up and knock them back as good as we can for now, and you know, try to reduce what's going to move into the later cotton, because in this part of the world there's a lot of late planted cotton. Also have reached treatable levels in spotty places in Baldwin County, and the shocker of the week was a report yesterday in Cherokee County, a field with the threshold population. You know, the biggest question is, when do we quit treating, or when do we cut out or walk away or terminate or whatever you want to call it? And we still don't fully know. We have a trial designed on the farm here that would have given us a pretty good idea of that answer today, except we still don't have jacins in it, of course. Mm-hmm. But so what we saw last year and what we know about cotton is, Josh, what do we got to have to defoliate cotton?
We need some leaves.
We need some green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that cotton jacids can turn green leaves brown in 2 weeks. And so what we recommended last year and what we're going with right now is to scout and treat until you're 2 weeks from defoliation. And, Chris, nobody wants to scout cotton that long. And even if they did, nobody dang sure wants to spray cotton that long. But what we saw last year in some places, I really think is probably necessary in most cases.
To spray?
To spray that late, yeah. We saw a field in Jackson County, Florida last year that they showed up in unbelievable numbers. About half the crop was open, and the grower estimated about 30% yield loss.
Wow.
That, and so.
But we are, based on y'all's research or recommendation, we are better prepared this year.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's
last
right.
Year.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully the impact, even they are here on the same kind of timeline and trend.
Yeah.
As long as growers manage them as per those recommendations.
That's right. Yeah. We've got a good game plan for them now. We got a lot better idea of what we're doing. We got a lot more folks looking for them that we now know exactly what we're looking for and how to look for it. Another point to that on looking for them is when my crew was down here spraying on Wednesday this week, I took a sweep net and went in the field for about an hour and a half, and I did sets of 10 sweeps, and then I flipped 10 leaves right next to it. Did 500 total sweeps and looked at 500 total leaves, about an hour and a half. And what I found was that I was about 3.5 times more likely to detect a cotton jacid in 10 sweeps as I was on 10 leaves. I also found about 6 times as many, which stands to reason, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You're looking at more leaves in a shorter amount of time. But so my point there being, if you know, one of those fields that Aaron and I went and looked at earlier this week, 2 weeks ago, they didn't see any jacids in the field. And then 2 weeks later, we're at 3 to 4 per leaf. And it's like, holy cow. And so that was part of what made me think we've got to find a better way to detect these things early. Because it, you know, you don't see anything. You kind of, and I'm not, I know that's not what happened where we were, but for me, you kind of get a little laxed, right? And then in our research plots, I get a little laxed, so we hadn't seen anything for a couple of weeks. And then one of the students find one, and we get all excited again. But running that sweep net, just doing sets of 10, it's a really quick, easy way to see if you've got them. And if you start finding 4, 5, 6 in a 10 sweep sample, that's when you know it's time to start flipping leaves. But if you're just flipping leaves, you do not have as good of odds of understanding there actually are jacids in this field as if you're flipping leaves.
So let's
doing sweeps.
Maybe kind of break that down. So when we're flipping leaves, we're mainly looking for nymphs because the nymphs are hopping from leaf to leaf. We're trying to detect those adults early.
That moving in before they start reproducing. That's right.
Because those adults, you can flip a leaf and he may jump off the time you put your hand on the leaf and you're just missing it.
That's right, yeah. And there's also a pile of mimics out there.
Yes.
Isn't sweep also capturing a more planting area?
Yeah.
You're getting, you know, if I look at 10 leaves, I'm maybe looking on 2 plants.
Yeah.
If I do 10 sweeps, I'm probably getting 10 or 15, 20 plants.
Right,
yeah. Okay. So that's why, again, it stands to reason you're going to find more because you're looking at more plants, but it's also quicker. And I was telling people this week about it, you know, you just kind of sweep the cotton like you're sweeping for plant bugs in June and pre-bloom. You don't need to hit it hard. You don't want to knock a lot of bowls into the net because then it smashes up the leafhoppers and you can't tell what's what. But just sweep it nice and easy. Try to get the top ring of the net at the top of the canopy and just gently swing it and stop after about 10 sweeps and see what you got.
So, question, does most scouts use sweeps?
A lot of people do. This time of the year, though, we don't really.
Yeah, okay. You've generally done put it in your closet this time
by about,
of the year.
About the second week of bloom, probably most folks are pretty much done, and we're pulling bowls looking for stink bugs and spider mites, and you're doing a lot more visual scouting then and less sweeps. A few drop calls out there, people looking at dirty blooms. But, yeah, it all still be in the pickup anyway.
And what you noticing?
Well, it's hot outside, and I would say for anyone who does not have a scout or someone looking at their crop, I know it's hot, but you've got to get out there and look. Don't, like you said, don't get lax on it. I've seen some fields that were like under the threshold. They, you know, you might find some adults or something right around the field borders. Nothing really kind of out in the middle. But typically in those fields, I haven't really seen any nymphs. So which kind of makes me think that they're just moving in the field. That's just that first generation. To me, those are the fields you really need to be back in less than a week or five to seven days, something like that. It looks like once we're starting to see nymphs in the field, it's pretty much, I don't want to say it is at a treatable level, but it's kind of there. And there, and I know earlier, well, I'll take this back. 2 weeks ago or last week, I'd heard some folks saying they were treating for jacids in the area, and I had been sort of looking, and I had not seen anything, and I was half just like questioning myself, am I going crazy? Am I not seeing anything? Am I even doing this right anymore? But then this week, it's been like a light switch has flipped. I'm not saying, you know, that the world's coming to an end for the with the jacids right now, but it's a lot easier to find them this week in different fields. Now, you can look at one field here and then go half a mile down the road, look at two more fields, you may not see a thing. And I have seen a few of those mimics like you were talking about, and sometimes they're hard. Either you have to have a hand lens and hope you don't chew them off the leaf, or, you know, a cell phone picture is really beneficial too, where you can really zoom in and make sure you've got those dots. But I have noticed, like, if you just ease through that cotton, you just kind of get to a point and sort of stop and just be quiet, you can kind of look around every now and then. I mean, you can see some adults that way too. If somebody doesn't have a sweet net or something like that.
If you just gently turn leaves over, they don't get as disturbed as the other species.
But it's really picked up this week, and I'm not, you know, trying to sound the fire alarm. It's picked up. That's the big thing is no one wants to get out of the truck right now, but jacids and spider mites are like running, well, spider mites are kind of running rampant down here, but the jacids not just yet, but they're there.
We've got them confirmed in 13 counties. And so if y'all find them, please let us know. But it's just like it was last year. It's starting in the southeast corner of the state for the most part. And they started in East Georgia, and they're spraying a lot more, and they're moving west, but it's just like Aaron said over there too. It's very spotty. They're in some fields or not in other fields. We don't know why exactly. But I think you hit on a really good point there of you start when you know you've got adult jacids in the field and you start seeing immature leafhoppers, pretty good chance that they're jacids, and there's a pretty good chance if you're not at threshold today, you probably will be tomorrow.
For sure.
I know you guys recommend scouting, hyro scout and all that. What percent of our crop in Alabama is actually scouted?
I think a pretty high percentage is scouted. Now, we don't have a lot of independent private consultants like they do in Georgia and in the Delta, but I would say a good bit of it is scouted by somebody.
So whether that's a retail sale. Corn, cotton, and peanuts.
Well, majority of the cotton is.
Yeah. So it varies by crop too.
Yeah, probably so.
And it may not be that somebody's going and looking at this field every week.
That's right.
It may be like, hey, I think I've got something. I was spraying last time, and there was a spot in the field that kind of looked like something might be going on. Hey, will you go out there and look at it? Now, I think, I'd say a lot of our crop. Or a lot of it is you talking to your neighbor in the morning.
Right.
And what are y'all doing? Or what are y'all doing, you know, kind of deal.
And that's why, you know, we try to put out as much information as we can on the Alabama Insects blog and the Pest Patrol hotline and that stuff, because there are a lot of fields, like Aaron's saying, that they're scouted, but not every week. Mm-hmm. The same field isn't scouted every week. And so the more information we can get about what people are seeing, the more we can let out so people who don't have scouts can know what to look for, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Mr. Peanut.
Yes, sir.
How is the peanuts looking?
Well, it's kind of a wide range, like y'all were talking about with the cotton. We had a long planting season this year, so we've got some early peanuts that look pretty good, good size, and lapped up good, and all of them need a rain right now. Mm-hmm. You don't ever pass up a rain during the month of August, and that's been really spotted this year compared to last year. I just give U.S. Crop Report this week over in Georgia to the American Peanut Shellers. I was looking at some weather data, and we've had 0.6 of an inch here at Headland at the Wiregrass Substation to the weather station. Last year we had a little over 10 inches month of August. So big difference, you know. Now, you know, what's going to happen from here forward, I'm not sure, but, you know, we're supposed to be super El Nino and all this talk about it being wetter in the fall as well, and should be starting in September. It's kind of what they said in that climatologist the other day. Hopefully, we don't know when exactly it's going to start, but, you know, we need a change in the weather pattern right now. Obviously, you know, everybody's different stages, and there's going to be peanuts that'll be harvested here in just, you know, probably 10 days, 2 weeks, there'll be peanuts dug. Just like y'all talking about, they'd be cotton defoliated. You know, we obviously don't need rain in those places, but hopefully we won't get a continued deluge, but we'll just get some timely rains and moves out, you know, because there's a lot of late stuff, a lot of late peanuts to go, with, like y'all talking about, late cotton. And we're going to need moisture for, you know, throughout September on that.
Especially for digging and all that, too.
Yeah. We got a lot smaller crop than what you know, were predicted. You know, that people thought we'd plant a lot more peanuts than we did, but we knew we'd decrease acres. And when we got into May, you know, when y'all was talking about it hit 8750, you know, that dropped some more acres of peanuts then, went to cotton, which is good. A lot of people needed to improve their rotations. They've been leaning on peanuts for the past few years due to the price and comparing that to the other commodities. But as we now, everything was a little more level playing field at planting time, and then cotton rose up. So, you know, it took a lot more acres at that time. And now, just recently, luckily, it's finally took till now a few months to get it back to 88 cent. So hopefully that'll continue to climb. Peanut prices also continue to climb. We had 195,000 acres of peanuts last year. We've got 138,500 this year. Considerably less, as well as all across the United States. Every state decreased pretty equally. So even though, you know, we had 195 last year and we went to 138, we're still the number two peanut producing state in the U.S. Florida, as well as Texas, dropped way down too, so they're still below us in acres.
So did that land go to cotton mostly, or did it also go to...
I think it went to both. And also beans. I think it went between cotton, corn, and beans, you know.
Okay. Probably. Because they've been relying on peanuts for the last 2-3 years. So it was, Okay. How does the overall crop look like yield-wise?
You know, as far as the predictions, you know, I think we could be average or less. It kind of depends on what's going to happen with this rain from this point forward. You know, who knows what's going to happen with that. But we would like to think it's going to get wetter. And looking at the forecast, it's supposed to be wetter. It also is predicted to be warmer for a while. So it looks like September, October, November will stay warm. Which is kind of what we need. You know, we need some heat units to be able to finish. And when we got, you know, we got stuck with a lot of rains there late. May only had about 14 days to plant in it. The other time it started raining. And then it coupled in, we rolled into the 1st of June to try to get finished planting the crop. And it rained some more. And then it continued to rain through June. So it was really hard to get it in. That's what stretched it out. So with that being said, there's probably 30-35% of the crop that's planted June 1st or later. And that's going to be pretty detrimental when you think about the overall production potential of the crop. So that's the other reason why the peanut prices continue to creep up. In all those states, our neighboring states, Georgia and Florida, they also struggled to get in that crop there then and have a lot late. And typically you just don't make good yields late, you know. And we may have an exception this year and be wetter and warmer than normal, and we make decent on that later stuff. But it's too early to tell that. But if we definitely have normal weather from here on, and dry as October usually is, it will be definitely a lower yield.
And just, you know, my past experience, this would be the year to really watch your leaf spot on these later planted peanuts. That's generally when leaf spot comes in. I just know, you know, some of these old-time farmers would say September 15th, 20th, I ain't spraying a fungicide anymore. Well, you still got vines that are, you know, still out there good. You need to pay attention to what's going on out there and not just cut off a fungicide spray because of the calendar.
Yeah, those early peanuts that was planted there early in October, and, you know, we're getting close to the finish on them, but that later stuff is a long way to go. So we definitely got to stay on top of that. And we're seeing some leaf spots starting to show up there now as well across the crop, and some white mold because hot, humid conditions like what we got. And you know, we've been getting little pop-up showers, but you're either under it or you're not. But we certainly increased the disease pressure lately.
So since, I don't know if we ever had the three agronomists together last time.
Well, we had too many other people in the room to give them much time.
To fight and see whose crop is the best.
Yeah. No, I was just going to ask you guys, what was our average last year yield, and what do you estimate this year or predict this year?
Well, peanut average yield last year was 3,400 pounds.
State average.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we could possibly do that
again
if we get this remaining weather. If we don't and it dries up and we don't get the moisture, we will be lower by far.
All right, so record yields last year, right? 1,011 pounds state average.
Just because we had a cotton agronomist.
I think it was a self-appointed interim cotton agronomist.
But I think it depends where we're at in the state and what kind of rains we can catch. I'm thinking about North Alabama at the moment, and they've gotten some really timely rains. I'll put it into perspective. Up there at the Tennessee Valley, I looked at rainfall totals from my May planted stuff like last week or so, and they had gotten over 23 inches of rain. Down here at Wiregrass, I looked at that same-ish time frame when I planted, only like around maybe 10, 8 to 10, something like that. So pretty significant, you know, drop in there. So I'm curious. I think there's going to be some parts in the state that are going to have some really good yields, and I think there's going to have some kind of fair yields. I'd love to be two bale, but I think we're going to hover just a hair below. But I hope it proves me wrong.
Okay. Arrows?
So last year we had 152 bushels per acre as an average state. I think, as Josh just said, up in the north we have way better corn field than as compared to the south. Now, the yields that are being reported are from the south, so maybe we are going to move into more harvested area in the north, and then the yields can be off a little bit. So we can be close to 150 or a little bit off below 150. It's not going to be 110 or 115 as 2024, for instance. It's going to be close to 140.
Last year.
One thing I forgot to mention about the corn harvest right now is we've seen a lot of ear rot happening. So grain quality can be an issue for some farmers. I have seen different fields in the southeast region here where it's not aggressive, it's moderate to mild ear rot happening. So be cautious about that. There's nothing we can do right now to cure it. It's just about picking corn as fast as you can to take it out of the field and store it. But this is something that some farmers may run into it as a big issue for them. It's quality right now.
Gotcha. You know, I walk very little corn, but I saw a lot of smut this year, ear smut. I don't know if you saw much.
Well, we see smut every year. I just visited the corn variety trial 15 minutes from here, and I didn't see any.
Yeah.
Interesting, but... yeah, smut is every year. It's not. It could be that this year is higher or more intense than last year because of the wet, rainy and days and overcast that we saw in June and July. And July was very wet as compared to most of the years. So that may favor smut more than a typical year.
Good deal. Aaron, Blake? Last minute remarks or any predictions on the crops?
I'm kind of like Chris. A lot's going to depend on, for peanuts, what happens in September, 1st of October, because there is a large portion of our crop planted way later than it normally is. I've seen a lot of issues with pre-emergent herbicides this year, reducing stands. I don't think we've got the best stand in cotton or peanuts this year. And just with the fact of the crop being planted later, so much later than normal, I'm not going to say we're going to be off really bad, but I feel like we're probably going to see one of the lower yields we've had in the last 3 or 4 years for both those crops. That's nothing scientific. That's just kind of my gut feeling. So,
I guess if I got a second and Scott's going to call me Mr. Black Belt, I need to mention the soybean. So,
okay.
Been a lot of soybean loopers pop up here recently, and that's one thing everybody needs to keep an eye out for.
Scott's got a recommendation on
Red Bandage stink bugs too.
Yeah.
Got a lot of calls, South Alabama and Central Alabama, on Red Bandage stink bugs, which is a much more damaging pest than our traditional stink bug species. And so we recommend a half a threshold. So whatever you use for green, southern green stink bug or whatever, cut it in half for red bands. And a lot of times we do tank mixtures of Asphate bifenthrin, if they're really bad, is our go-to recommendation for red banded stink bugs.
And when we have late soybean planted, all the stink bugs that was corn was picked, yeah. And then yeah. Cotton defoliated, so they're going to migrate into a soybean field. So pay attention to that.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Well, guys, appreciate your time today. And Chris Parker and the crew for letting us borrow a room for the podcast and for putting on a good field day today. But as always, if any of us here at the Alabama Extension can do anything to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.